Hello?
Oh no, she's dead.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
It's all shits and giggles till somebody dies. Death, 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 death.
Death, a funny business.
Death, a funny business.
Welcome to another episode, or where are we? We are another week of Death, a funny business with FUBAR Radio.
Oh my God.
With myself, Becky Briggs, and
Natasha Spencer-Levy, that's me.
So exciting.
I'm a person, I'm human.
I'm so glad you're human.
I'm so glad too. My mum's dead and so's her dad.
I always think you're going to say her mum too.
No. I'm like, she's not. No, her mum is not dead. My dad isn't dead, but our opposite parents are, which is quite exciting.
It's exciting. And we're basically here just to have very uncensored and honest conversations about all things death.
Because at the end of the day,
we're all going to die.
We're all going to die.
And on that note, we've got some exciting guests today.
Do we?
We do.
Tell me all about them.
We have Paul Cutler.
Ooh.
You won't believe what he does.
What does
he
do?
He is a pioneer, and he has pioneered the concept of incorporating cremation ashes into tattoo ink.
Cremation ashes into tattoo ink.
Yeah. So
who'd
you can have a piece of your loved one.
Technology these days.
In you.
Ooh.
I know.
In me.
In you.
How do you feel about that? That's kind of exciting.
I think it's kind of exciting. I'm excited to find out more about that because I think that feels very invasive and feels a bit too much. But I'm excited.
But it feels very personal.
It does feel it feels deeply personal, slightly too personal. And I think you're going to like the next guest.
Who do I? Why? Why
would As
I
you're like? An actor. Actress,
it.
Actor.
I don't mind.
We've got Florence Lace Evans. She's a comedian, a writer and director.
Ooh.
And she's just done a successful run at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Oh, how fun!
With a show, Yes, We're Related.
Oh, I love that.
So I'm
that's
not
exciting.
Sure what that's going to mean. It seems some of this griefy things to unfold there.
I bet.
And then...
Well, you'd hope so.
I hope so too.
I don't know.
Let's crack on with the show!
Let's do it!
FUBAR Radio.
We are so excited to be here with Paul Cutler today, an award-winning tattooist and owner of Bubblegum Ink. A pioneered the concept of incorporating cremation ashes into tattoo ink, offering a unique and deeply personal way to memorize loved ones. I am so excited about this.
Yeah, same. I think this is so fascinating.
I
have a little tidbit of information.
What?
When I was 16 and I was like deciding what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, I wanted to be a tattoo artist more than anything in the world. So this is like super exciting. I feel like I'm living my teenage dreams.
This is amazing. But Paul, you're not just a tattoo artist. I'm going to be completely honest. I didn't know this was a thing. I did not know that you could, you know, you got these ashes and that you could kind of, I mean, it's so interesting. Can you talk to us about exactly, you know, what? First of all, actually, how did you come about doing this?
Right. Somebody came up at the time. I think I had been a tattoos for about 10 years. And someone came into my studio, asked for an ashes tattoo. So I spoke to my mentor, who taught me to tattoo, and he says, yeah, just shove some in the pot and then off you go and everything will be nice and happy. But I'm a bit OCD and I was like, well, that's not really putting the actual ashes with the tattooing ink. That's just kind of making him sink to the bottom. And he went, yeah, it'll be all right. That's what everybody else does. So I sat there and spoke to a lot of people at a big pharmaceutical research and development company, which I won't name, that was up the road from me, and they worked everything out, and I worked out to create my own ink, and we took everything from there.
Wow.
And how do you go about making the ink? What makes your ink different to like someone just mixing ashes together?
If you put what's it called, if you got normal tattooing ink and put it in a pot, and then you put, I use half and half, so half ashes, half tattooing ink. So if I put them both together in normal tattooing ink, it'd just turn into mud and it'd be unusable. You wouldn't actually be able to use it. So we actually have to create our own tattooing ink so that it's flexible and viscous enough so when we stick the ashes with it, that it then goes back to the constituency of normal tattooing ink.
Oh, that's so interesting.
That's really interesting. And when you say it would sink to the bottom, you said with that,
like
with the actual,
oh gosh. That's quite an image, isn't it? That feels like if you have something, you definitely want your ashes. If you're going to do something like tattooing them in, you want them to be incorporated into the ink, not just.
Yeah, not like sat there at the bottom of the pot, just knocking about.
Ooh.
It took 6 months to all put together.
Oh, wow.
And how long have you been doing this for?
18 years.
Wow.
Wow.
I started tattooing when I was four.
Four?
When you were four?
What did
no,
you...
No, I didn't. I'm trying I was chasing compliments.
I was about to ask what was the first thing you tattooed.
I was doing some math and I was like,
I believed you, so I don't know what that means.
You're really gullible.
I am really gullible. You could like just lie throughout this whole episode and I'd believe you. I completely believe you.
It does go a bit more technical than that to what we end up doing. But I'll probably bore you all to death, so
I'm so interested in what the technicality of it is. Like what, like I said, like what makes it different?
Right. So we'll, because we create our own tattooing pigment. Well, not create the pigment, tattooing ink.
Right.
We molecularly reduce the size of the tattooing pigment to a certain molecular size. When somebody comes to see me, I run certain machines that then reduce the ashes to the same molecular size. Then we clean them all, make sure all the rubbish and everything's taken out of them, because however much ashes seem to work on the premise that because they've been heated loads that they're nice and sterile. Obviously, there's no sterilization protocol the minute they come out, you know, and we don't want that getting put in, into you on the basis that that then will cause the tattoo to reject. Ashes are organic. The tattooing pigments are organic. They're both exactly the same molecular size. So when we put them together, then you, as long as your you can see your tattoo, them ashes are with you.
Wow. I love that so much. If I ever, because I'm such a pussy, but I've never got a tattoo. I haven't got a tattoo yet.
Do.
I really want. Yeah, you do you have two?
I have two, and they're actually both because of family. But so a bit of context for you, Paul. So my, I don't know how much you've been told, but Tasha's mum died when she was really young, and my dad died when I was 18. So I was obviously needed to be, thank you. I obviously needed to be quite rebellious. So I decided, my dad hated tattoos. So I was like, well, I'm 18 now, I'm going to go and get a tattoo. So I got one in memory of him. I've got a sunflower on my arm. And then I've got, when I went to New Zealand and to find myself, I got one on my, came back more confused. I had a little sort of thing on my ankle, which is like a new, a lifeline, a fern. And then it has like little, it's not very exciting, but it's got something that represents every family member. And to me, that's been, it is really personal. I look at them occasionally and I go, oh, that's really nice. I just forgot I had that. That's like a nice memory of some, you know, it feels like a bit like I'm close to my family. Is that kind of, because I've read also that you're a kind of a grief counsellor as well. Is that correct? Grief?
I'm currently through the process of, what's it called, training to be one.
Yeah.
I think I've got about a year left, but I think on the basis that for about, I've been doing it now 18 years.
Yeah.
I'm probably near enough classed as a grief counsellor anyway. So even if you, let's say that tattoo you came for.
Yeah.
There's every, however small the tattoo is, I'd still boot 3 hours out for you. On the basis that I need to make sure, not need to make sure, but, you know, I know, you know, you're not there to kind of, how could I put it? You know, I'm a caring person is the best way of describing it. And if you're falling to bits, that's what I, you know, fall to bits on me, I'm not bothered.
Yeah.
You know, I'll sit there and try my best to help you through, not through everything that's going on in your life, but kind of, you know, kind of just pick you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because let's be quite honest, what I'm doing is you've lost somebody that you love and I'm sitting in the background and I'm just a person who's putting you both back together again. Literally.
Wow. That's really beautiful. Because I think that it can be, look, you know, I'm not saying I think that at all. I actually do think now you're explaining it, I do think that's really quite a beautiful thing to do. But from an outsider, do you get people sort of judging this thing, thinking, oh my gosh, this should be so separate. Why are you kind of messing with I don't know, the someone's gone, why are you trying to bring them back and make them close to someone else? Do you know what
I
mean?
If I'm being quite honest, never.
Never?
No. I feel
If they're coming, you know. I mean, I get people from all over, literally all over the country. I've got someone flying in from, Colorado.
Really?
America. Wow. How mad's that?
Wow.
That's crazy.
And she's in 2 days' time, and what's even more interesting, which I didn't even know, and you ladies may or may not know, in America, there's a thing called the death doulant.
What's that?
What is that?
It's like, so you get somebody, I'm not too up on everything, but a midwife brings you into the world, a deaf dilettante helps you out of the world.
Oh.
She's there to hold your hand as you're passing through.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And so she's worked with 15 clients and she's bringing 15 sets of ashes. And we'll do all the time. I've put the whole day out for it, and she's having, I'm free-handing her a big fig tree all the way up her side, and she's having all the ashes for every single one, and the names put in all the way down it.
Wow. That is so beautiful. What a gorgeous, like, tribute to, one, your work, and two, like, how lovely that you can give her that. Of course, she's going to come all the way from America to...
Wow.
We were actually...
I find it very humbling.
Yeah, oh my goodness. How has the experience been for you? Do you find that you find it cathartic as well?
For the most part, yeah. Obviously, I've got, you know, as both you ladies have lost people in your life,
yeah.
I've lost people and this, that and the other. Mm. So there can be a couple of, best way of describing it, stories that sting,
yeah.
If you get what I mean. You can't help but connecting. I had a client come in, and obviously I won't go into details, but me and my wife went on a beautiful romantic holiday in Santorini. We took out the quads, drove around like loonies, had a fantastic time. And then I had a client come up from London. They did exactly the same couple, went to Santorini, eyed out the quads, had a massive accident, lost his partner.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so awful.
And that's the point where you sit there and you're like, oof, that's close,
so
to home. That's close to home, that is.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's life. How could I put it? You know, death affects everybody. Mm. And what you ladies are bringing up is a fantastic idea. It needs to be talked about a lot more.
It does. And I think there are so many parts of death and grief that, you know, I didn't know about what you did. And I think that's what's so exciting about this, doing this, is that we're learning so much at the same time, and just kind of raising awareness of everything. Mm. I've got another question for you. I'm excited about designs. Are you very involved in the design process for people? Like, do they talk about, I don't know, their relationship with this person and you kind of help with that? Or like, what's the most common designs that are used for your... in the tattoos?
Everything. I do a lot. Obviously, it's who you love. So I've done a lot with people who have lost dogs, cats, humans. When it comes to humans, it can be anything. And, you know, there might be some little aspect of your father that you lost that's in your head, that it might be the most remote concept of an imagery, but for you, it's so meaningful.
Mm.
On that basis, that's the direction we like to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Or signatures, things like that, because obviously you can't get any more personal. Or if they bring a mass load of cards, birthday cards, Christmas cards, everything like that, I'll scan them all up, and then they'll turn around and say they want some lyrics from a song that the mum loved if the mum's passed away, and then I'll rebuild all of it with mum's signatures as if mum's written it all on them, and then rebuild it that way.
That's a really emotional experience, so like, for you.
Very connected.
Yeah.
That is so lovely. You said as well, you said that people bring their dogs and cats, so does that mean you can use animal ashes as well?
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, because the level that I do everything to actually creates the end result is the ashes are completely inert.
Hmm.
And they're completely organic matter, so it can be horses, it can be a person, all sorts.
What's the most random animal?
I've done parrots. I always find birds a bit strange.
Why?
I don't know.
Dislike.
I find tortoises, goats. I've done all ferrets. I've done everything.
Goats.
But I don't know why birds always cut. There's not an issue with doing birds' ashes. It's all exactly the same. But you know, that's the always one that's like, ooh, right.
So I don't actually know when someone dies how many grams. It's not kilograms ashes.
Well, I guess it depends on the person.
Okay,
it?
An average human.
I've got something to tell you about.
Oh, go on.
That I got told by a funeral director, and I do not know whether there's logic in this, but he's definitely a big funeral director and knows his stuff.
Bring it on.
And he said within 10%, your ashes will weigh what you weighed when you were born.
What? No.
I. But he knows what his stuff is.
Oh, that's
he's a really, really big funeral
crazy.
Director.
Crazy. That's like that soul thing that we were talking about the other day. It's like, but the idea that you, that's so interesting because you end up like, you, like energy can't be created or destroyed. So you end up is exactly the same weight as you were born. Yeah. That's so interesting.
But how heavy is a baby?
Well, I was like 5 pounds because I was little. Like a bag of sugar? I don't know. How big is 5 pounds? Somebody do the math for me.
It's not like a bag of potatoes. I'm old school.
There you go, bag of potatoes.
So when you're doing the when you're sort of getting the ashes, how do you ask them to bring the whole box or urn?
It all depends. I always say, at no stage do the ashes leave anybody's view. That's a really big thing that I stipulate on, because you know you care for this person and you don't want any. Oh, we'll send it off or come back tomorrow or any weird stuff like that. Everything's there, and I explain everything to everybody. And then some people bring a tablespoon's worth. Some people bring them all. Some people don't like handling ashes. So I always turn around and give everybody the option and say, if you don't like handling ashes, just bring them all. They're never going to leave your sight. Yeah. I'll take care of them for you. And then I'll make sure everything we don't use, you get straight back again. Oh. So at no stage is anything going anywhere.
It's such a lovely thing hearing you say this. And I know that you said you aren't certified yet as a grief counsellor or anything like official in grief wise, but it sounds so much like... what was her name? The girl we had on who was the embalmer.
Yes.
She has such an... Like, she was so interesting and she had such a similar experience in the way you describe, like, caring for these people who've passed. It gives me such, like, memories of, like, having that conversation with her. And it sounds like you're really very much involved. And the way that you're handling it is so... it's so important. I don't know. It feels like a very...
It's like being handling it the way I'd want to be taken care of.
Absolutely. Mm.
Oh. It's so sensitive. And are there any misconceptions about what you do that you'd like to kind of set straight?
No, not really. As I said before, there's so many people that still stick to the old, yeah, we do it, you know, shove it in a pot job and off you go. But as we've already spoke already about all that, you know, there's, you know, it all just goes to the bottom. I've stopped it. What this research and development plant that set it all up for me are massive. And as I say, I'm not going to say the name, but they employ about 3,000 people. And the protocols they put in place for me, I've never changed because I'm not going to get better than them.
Mm. Wow. And would you say that you're the only person who uses this method? Do you know of anyone else? Is it just you?
Yeah.
Wow. Well.
Wow. Well, I'm excited now. Not for someone to die, so this can happen.
I think we may have to get tattoos.
I think, but we don't. I don't have any ashes left of my dad.
Oh,
so
yeah, neither do I.
But
next time.
Next when my dog dies, I will.
Next
know.
Time.
Next time.
Yay! Something to look forward to.
Thank you so much, Paul. We're going to have to go to a break, but we've really loved having you on, and I'm so excited by this. Which maybe I shouldn't be, but it is. It's cool.
And thank you so much for having your podcast debut and being on ours.
Wanting to chat to us.
So glad.
Thank you very much, Becky and Natasha. You've both been amazing, and you've made me feel so welcome.
Paul, you're an angel. I love Paul. Stop
Enjoy the rest of your holiday. For those who can't see Paul, he's on Zoom in Barbados.
I'm going back for me beers in a minute.
You're
going
to go swim.
Nice. Enjoy. Don't forget the sun cream. Bye, Paul.
I love Paul. I think Paul is so sweet. Paul makes me cry.
We're going to go for a quick break, and then we're back with Florence.
Woo!
FUBAR Radio. And we are back.
Back
with Florence Lace Evans, who's sitting in the chair next to us today.
Hello.
Comedian, writer, and director. And I believe you've just come back from Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
From
the Fringe, the infamous Fringe.
The infamous.
With your show, Yes, We're Related.
That's the one.
Oh my goodness.
That's all I'm going to say.
An actor.
Because we have another actor in the room.
What can I say? Okay. Apart from I feel as though we are kindred spirits.
And she's been really excited about this.
I am. I'm excited to hear about your Fringe experience.
Have you done the Fringe?
I've been up there. I haven't been in it. I've not done a show up there, which because Yeah. Stress. It feels like a lot. Also, I just haven't been on that.
Besides,
how was Fringe?
Yes, tell us about Fringe. And
It was wonderful. I mean, I've also been up as a punter.
Yes.
It's about
intense.
It's very intense.
I can't imagine doing it as an actor.
It's a bit like Reading Festival, but with lots of actors.
Yeah.
It's very intense. And you're up all hours and you start drinking from about 10. This isn't when you're performing, by the way. This is if you're a punter.
Yeah.
No, but when you're performing, it's just like, it's all guns blazing. Like, you arrive and it's just like, here we go, straight into the deep end.
Mm.
It is quite intense. I'm sure anyone else who's done it as well will be like, yep, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of odd, like, you kind of get into a rhythm and you really get into the bubble of Edinburgh Fringe. And when you leave that bubble, you're like, what is my life? I got so attuned.
It doesn't feel like the real world up there.
No,
it
not
feels
at all.
Like some weird, arty, like.
I have FOMO now because I've not been.
It's a really weird thing because everyone knows what everyone else, but the whole town, like it's the whole city.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're just like, it's very odd. It feels like no one is living a normal existence apart from Fringe. Anyway.
So it's you went there to write this show. I want to know, you know, how long it took you to write the show and everything. But explain the show. It's a dark comedy about grief and squirrels.
You got it in a nutshell, pardon the pun. I love saying that.
Oh my God, that's
funny. She's funny. It was really smooth.
She's funny.
How many times have you used that one?
Too
many. You don't have to tell.
I'm going to try and think of some other ones now.
No, I should also start thinking of some new ones. Yeah, so it's a dark comedy about two sisters dealing with grief.
Mm.
So we open on the one-year anniversary of Sara and Saskia's mother's death.
Mm.
Really light. And Sara...
really fun. Do people stay in the room then, or do people just freak out and leave?
And they're just like, bye.
What, the audience?
Yeah. It's about death.
We haven't had anyone freak out so far.
That's good.
We're not the only ones that aren't super scared of death.
we don't.
Everyone else, all the normal people are like, oh my God, they're talking about a dead mum. Everybody leave.
But also, that's we don't just like it. Come on stage and be like, death. Like, we're not like, you know, straight on the nose.
Tell us.
So we open on the anniversary of their mother's death.
Yeah.
And Sara believes that her mother has been reincarnated as a squirrel. Named Gerald.
Oh,
I love this.
The squirrel is all making sense.
It's all coming together.
Why Gerald?
It's a really, really good question. I mean, to be honest, when I first thought of it, I thought that's a brilliant name for a squirrel.
Absolutely.
You know, like when you name a cat,
you said squirrel, I can literally see Gerald in my head right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. So. It's like when you name a cat, like
Colin.
Exactly.
The best.
It's just
name.
Funny. That's
if
the
you do not name, okay, I'm looking directly into the camera if no one can see me. If people don't name their pets normal human names, you're doing yourself a disservice. Name your dog Richard.
Exactly.
Craig.
Oh, no, that gives me
Craig the cat. Dave the cat.
I can get on board with Gerald
it's
the
funny.
Squirrel. But not Richard.
I feel like we're on the same page. Tell us more about Gerald.
I think there's like great divide.
There always is.
Yeah, it's okay. We're used to it.
So Gerald is technically a character which you never see. So in the play, he represents the mother to Sara. So you kind of hear squeaks, you hear scratches, and you kind of see Sara see Gerald at times, but you never actually see him.
Mm.
So it's kind of one of those like nods to he can be there or he can't be there. Like it kind of gives the audience the opportunity to kind of be like, is there actually a squirrel or is this just someone imagining that there is a squirrel who they're hearing? Because what's also interesting is the other characters. So we've got Saskia, the older sister, and her very quirky fiancé, Mark, who is an archery enthusiast, of
Absolutely
course.
He is.
I know, it just gets Nisha
and Is this based
Nisha.
In this, like, today's world?
It isn't. No, it's set in space. No. I was
like, no, I know what she's imagining. She's imagining medieval knights and, like, people arching with longbows.
I didn't know people
she's
played
like,
archery. Can you play archery or do archery? I don't know.
I think
you can.
Yeah, it's a sport, isn't it? I do it at the Olympics.
Oh, do they?
They do.
Certified sport.
It's
okay,
sadly
sorry.
Not to that level. He's sadly not an Olympian.
Okay, well, Mark sounds like a fun guy.
Does he do it dressed as like an elf, or does he do it dressed like? Is it cosplay?
He comes dressed.
Yeah, Mark, you might be just likes archery. Is that a serious question?
I'm just wondering
it's
if he's like
a really
nerd.
Good question.
Yeah,
it's
thank,
really
thank
good.
You.
He does.
Sorry, this is clearly like there's a divide between the nerds and the normal people. I was like, so is it Lord of the Rings? Is that the vibe, or is it like
that would be so niche? No,
well, he's just kind of cool like that. He's
he's definitely not cool.
Yeah,
he thinks he's really really cool. Sara thinks he's really, really cool. He comes dressed in tight lycra.
Nice.
And because it's like a funeral, it's all black. And he thinks he's really, really cool because he's just come from archery practice. He's a bit sweaty as he comes in. He's the ultimate, you know, wannabe.
He's it.
Wannabe. He is the it guy. So we've got these very, like, three very quirky characters. But as the play kind of unfolds, you really see these three people dealing with the same grief in a very, very different way. You see Sara attach herself to everything that reminds her of her mum. And then you see Saskia, who pushes everything away that reminds her of her mother. And then you've just got Mark in the middle, who's just an absolute car crash.
He's like, why are you crying?
Love him.
You have to have one of those.
I love him though.
You should go for a walk.
He's definitely that. Actually, what he does do is he's like, let's play a party game. Like, he's like that guy.
He's like, let's take your mind off it. Why don't we play a game of consequences?
Organized fun.
Really good with this. Like, Scrabble. That's kind of how the play kind of unfolds. And then halfway through, there's a diabolical secret which happens.
Don't tell us.
Don't tell us, because I really want to see.
We're gonna come. We've decided as friends. We're all coming as friends.
Will you be our friend?
I'm very excited. We have friends.
You'll be in the front row, friends.
Can you tell us the secret without telling us secret?
No. I don't want to know the secret.
No.
I thing is, though, I don't want to give too much away because it's one of those secrets which will be a jaw dropping.
Look, listeners, 12th to the 14th of November at the Other Palace.
17th.
Oh, 17th. Even longer. You have more time.
We will be coming. Is it okay to ask what made you write this?
Yeah. What was your stimulus?
Inspiration and, yeah.
So I started writing about a year and a half ago. And to be completely honest, I didn't know I was going to write a play.
Mm.
I wrote it with the aim to write a funny piece for women. Because I kept kind of seeing TV shows being like, funny men. And of course, there are some very, very funny male comedians out there, very funny kind of male actors. Mm. Mm. And there are some incredible female comedians.
Fleabag is the first thing that comes to mind.
Exactly.
Love.
I was like, well, I can't do a scene from Fleabag. I mean, even in drama school, they were like, you are Fleabag.
Yeah.
So I was like, I know. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I've got to think out the box. I've got to write something. So I started writing this very odd scene about two sisters who hate each other. And one of the sisters was having a secret, which was that she had a squirrel in her bedroom. And we, of course. So we performed that at a scratch night. It actually went down really, really well.
What scratch night was it, can I ask?
It was at the Bread and Roses in Clapham. And it was actually a scratch night for someone else's Edinburgh Fringe production. So we performed scene one, after in the pub, I was like, that's actually quite funny. I'm quite good.
I'm actually quite good at this. I think I do this. a scratch night, for anyone who doesn't know, is when actors and writers
get really itchy.
Yeah, they get really itchy and they come on stage and I'm going to tell you what it means.
What?
So they get on stage and they do a piece of new work that hasn't been performed. It's like an opportunity for them to feel the audience, like how they're going to react, and for them to see what works and what doesn't. Just so, you know, we're all on the same page.
Well, I'm glad you scratched that itch, because I didn't know what it was. I sat here in silence and I thought, you know what? Everyone else will know what scratch night is.
And I was like, no, Becky, it's okay. I'm going to tell
you.
Anyway, please. But yeah, so you were writing this piece.
Yeah. And then in the pub afterwards, I was like, I'm going to write the rest of this. Because I think I found it very fascinating writing about, because I actually do have an older sister. She was like, it's about me. I was like, it's not about you. She's like, it's definitely about me.
Love that.
So I was like, right, it's going to spur me on even more to write the rest of it. It's fascinating writing a piece about two sisters who are very, very different to each other. And it's very easy then to be like, right, I can know where these two characters are going to go, because whatever Sara does, Saskia will always do the opposite. And I started kind of writing, wrote so many odd plot lines, like really, really odd.
Oh, I
want to
hear
lines.
These.
very odd
this
plot
is
lines.
A really uncensored show as well.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
I can say whatever
you want.
You can
swear. You can say fuck all you want.
Ooh,
I know. Isn't that sick?
Let's do it. Test it. So fun.
Fucking hell. let's go wild.
Crazy.
There was lots of odd plot lines. Like, there was one about a guy who was from the Communist Party who came round, who was like wanting to get Sara enrolled, and she fell in love with him because he liked Kit Kat Chunkies. Like, it all just got a this bit out of hand. This is amazing.
No, you've got to still do that one. That's
this
brilliant.
Sounds, yeah, this there was, sounds like the inside of my head.
I was It's quite romantic.
It's actually quite funny because no, when people are like, where did you get this from? I'm like, it's all in here, baby. It's all in
is
here.
Is any of it personal? Is any of it like...
Well, so when I finally did settle on, actually, no, it's about two sisters dealing with grief. It was actually, it came after a time when my mother, who's a sister of three, her older sister sadly passed away from cancer.
Oh, gosh.
And she, I sadly couldn't be there for the funeral, but my mother flew over to Canada. And when she got there, she was like, right, okay, I'm here for the funeral. And they were like, oh, she was cremated. And they were like, what? And she was like, and her older sister was like, yeah, like we had a cremated, it was all agreed. And she was like, I never agreed to that. So watching wow. that all unfold,
gosh.
I was like, I can't believe that a family member could do that to another family member. And that's kind of where it took my inspiration to then write about these two very dysfunctional sisters and how far can you lie and how far is too far, which definitely the play explores, where, I mean, all three characters have a lie, which eventually does come out, but it's to what extent is too far and how far can you go that it's just like, actually, that's betrayal. Mm. And it's very fascinating because I think with family members, you think, oh, well, you know, it's that kind of odd thing where people are like, oh, well, I'll always forgive you. But then is there a point where it's like, actually, I can't forgive you for what you've done. 100%. So watching all of that from afar was obviously very painful. But at the same time, there's a lot of comedy in grief. Mm. There's a lot of comedy in grief.
Sure. We try.
Funny, we'd hope so. We'd hope so, because if there wasn't, we'd be out of the job.
I'm definitely advertising the show very wrong. So from that, I was like, right, okay, I'm going to write this really wacky story.
I think that's really interesting, actually, because I wouldn't have thought to set it from the point of view of actually, it's not necessarily the grief that is the subject, is more actually the relationships around it that happen.
Exactly.
And like, are you okay?
I said squirrel.
Oh, squirrel.
Should that just be like,
I thought you were crying. I was like, are you alright?
I thought you were getting upset. Anyway, sorry, we just have to do a check-in. Everyone take a deep breath.
She does this when she thinks life's good.
No. I just genuinely thought you were crying.
Imagine. But that would be fine, though.
The squirrel is just so...
The squirrel.
It's just so sad. But no, I think it's really interesting actually talking about the relationship that you have after grief. I know that I have a younger sister who obviously shares... My mum passed when I was very, very small. And we obviously share this experience of grief together. But the relationship that we have... And that surrounds this event is very, very different to, I think, what people would normally experience. And I think that it's interesting talking about how people go in separate directions. Like, one person is like, cool, like, we're gonna write a podcast and, you know, do a show about grief. And the other one is like, how dare you make a joke about this? This is not funny. It's been 18 years and I do not care for jokes about our dead mother. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Tabby. But
oh dear.
Yeah, I know she's gonna be mad at me now, but but no, it's interesting because I think it's something that people, there's no right way of doing it. And actually, I think it's absolutely fine for both sisters to have this experience of like different grief. But I think, what was your, like, when you approached that relationship, was there something that your sisters kind of, you felt with, I'm not saying a question, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. What, you mean in terms of with my own sister?
Yeah. Was there like, do you feel like that's a level of like something that you understand? Like,
yeah, I mean.
And you saw that in the grief between your mother and her sister as well?
I guess so, because I mean, my sister is I mean, I love my sister. And
who doesn't love their sisters? We love our sisters.
Yeah, but she's very, very different to me, and we both have a very different relationship to my mother. Like, I call my mum every single day. Like, I have to speak to her every single day. That's my relationship with her. Whereas my sister can go like a couple of months, but they are exactly the same. They're very, very close. Like, they chat every kind of 2 months. And that's kind of my understanding of how I work as a sibling, like in kind of our differences. But I think the crux of the story was definitely watching how my mum was affected by the grief being so far away as well. Yeah. It's also that odd thing when there's a distance. Mm. It's having that, because also what happens in the play is that you learn that Sara and Sasuke haven't seen each other since the funeral, and it's 1 year on. So it's like having
God, there's so many
that,
layers to this.
So it's like an onion. But it's like
we cry.
We cry a lot. That's very good.
Not if you wash the onion though.
What?
You wash the onion underwater.
What, after you've peeled it?
TikTok told me.
Really?
That's true.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to try it tonight.
Oh, I love that.
Try it tonight.
So anyway, onions.
Yeah, so it's kind of also like this element of distance as well, which can definitely change your perception of how you grieve someone and how you have that relationship with someone as well. Mm. So
Have there been any like particular like memorable responses to that stood out to you, you know, people watching the show, good and bad, funny and not so funny?
So we did previews of the show in London and Birmingham, which went down really well. And it was lovely because it was kind of like all friends and family. And that was very like soft and very cushioned. But Edinburgh was like wild.
Mm. Everyone is drunk. Everyone,
but it's also just like, it's also how people perceive the show. So we decided to market the show with squirrel heads on walking down the mile. And some people love squirrels. They were like, oh my God, I love this show. And some people literally hate squirrels so much.
Really? Squirrels were the issue.
I know. I was like, are you sure about that? I had one lady who literally was like, I think they should all be shot. And I was like, okay, this is not the show for you.
Okay.
It's very extreme.
She's obviously had some serious grief in her life.
Yeah, exactly.
And she hasn't dealt with it. Now she's projecting it onto the squirrel
show.
Population.
She needs to see the show. She doesn't know it.
But no, to be fair, like by the end of The Fringe, we were known as like that squirrel show, which was great. And we had some really wonderful responses. And actually, what was really, really spooky, we had a lot of sisters see the show. Mm. And it was what was so bizarre, the first week, we had these two sisters who were so lovely, who we kind of approached on the Royal Mile. We actually gave them free tickets. We were like, please come see the show. Mm. And after the show, they kind of came up to us. They were like, that was so wonderful because we really see each other in both those characters. Oh. But also, we're actually here in Edinburgh to scatter our mother's ashes.
I have goosebumps.
Which
that's weird. I think there's a reason they came to that show.
It happened. So
it's also
spooky.
Like you were walking up that street at the right time in the right moment.
Yeah.
And you got so handed
spooky.
A pair of
that
free tickets.
That must have been really emotional
it
for
was
them. Do you think?
Really...
Did you speak to them after?
Yeah. Well, we're partnered with Sue Ryder, which is a grief charity in the UK.
Yeah.
Wonderful charity. And after the show, we'd kind of stand by the door with buckets just to kind of like collect money for the charity. And that's kind of when people would kind of say things. And that's when they approached me and they were like, "This is our situation." And it's actually amazing because a lot of people after the show were like, "Oh, do you have any resources?" And what's great is that Sue Ryder gave us a bunch of leaflets. So if anyone was dealing with grief at the time, they obviously walked around, walked away being like, "That was a really funny squirrel show." But at the same time, they walked away being like, "Okay, I've got something that I can take from this," which was ultimately what we wanted when we partnered up with Sue Ryder.
I wish I could talk to you for ages. I'm really annoying that you have to.
But
wrap
we're gonna
up.
See the show.
We're gonna come and see the show. Lovely. We're so excited. And I also really hope that there's another show coming up, which will be about communists and Kit Kat bars.
Oh yeah,
because I think that'll
the
be a fun
challenge.
One.
Just watch it.
Those
yeah.
So
I mean, it's there already. I feel.
Yeah.
No need for a scratch.
I think
just
you need to finish this one, and we'll definitely come along to that.
Yeah,
but thank
excited.
You so much, Florence,
thank
for
so much
being
for
here with
me.
Us and talking about the show. And we're excited for what's next. Who is ready for a game?
Me.
Me.
We have a really exciting game.
That was
it.
Who's ready for a game?
Do you know what I really want to do? I really want to be like on the X Factor, you know, and they're like.
Natasha Spencer-Levy, Rebecca Briggs.
Yeah, that's
yeah they would do
doing.
One of those.
Who is ready for the game?
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah.
In a world surrounded by fear
and death.
And death.
We have a game.
There's okay. So many themes happening here.
I know. I don't know what theme she's on.
I'm not going to lie. There's just a lot going on.
So I think the way we do this is, okay. I've got an idea. Buzzer. Ooh, so your buzzer is squirrel. Cool. So
I'll say mum.
Okay.
Okay.
What if you say at the same time? Squirrel mum.
Squirm!
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 That works.
No, but your buzzer is squirrel and my buzzer
okay,
is
so you're
mum.
Ready. So I'm going to ask a question and it's like quick fire.
Oh,
okay, ready?
Okay.
Number one, where does the term kick the bucket come from? Where does the term kick the bucket come from?
Squirrel. Shakespeare.
Oh, I hate you if that's right.
This could be right. It's.
I was going to say Dickens.
That's not right. The answer is from hanging executions.
Of course.
Oh, we're that was silly. My second
guess. I thought it might have been from Shakespeare's time. Oh, so.
I was imagining like some kind of Oliver Twist moment.
Number
where
two. He when says, did we start anyway. Burying people 6 feet under the ground?
The plague.
Oh, squirrel.
The
plague.
Mom! Sorry.
Yeah. Wait, can we cut the buzzers? The buzzers aren't working.
Okay, we'll cut the buzzers because okay. I'm confused.
Cut the buzzers.
But yes.
Oh, really?
I was going to say that the plague because oh. because they got used to get sick.
Wait, did you not say that? Who said the plague?
I said mum because oh. I was panicking. I'm not used to saying the word. I don't know what I'm doing. It's no. new to me.
Sorry, we'll cut that out. Okay. What next question?
Really gonna hate me today.
What is the phobia or fear of death called?
Oh, blimey. Okay, let's do some Latin.
Oh,
death, mort, mum.
We're not doing the buzzer.
Oh, sorry. Mortophobia?
No.
Morophobia?
No.
Oh,
Greek. Three. What's the Greek for
Greek?
It?
Greek.
Oh, deadmophobia. Thanatophobia.
Well, I fucked it.
I think we both fucked it.
Thanatophobia, I think it's called.
Cool.
God, good job.
We've learned something new today. Next question. Why do we use the phrase the final curtain?
Ding, ding, ding. Because of the stage, the theatre, surely. It's the final act.
Final stage direction.
You're changing your buzzer.
It's traditionally a curtain. Good point.
Well, I don't know if we're doing buzzers anymore. I'm got confused.
Well, I'm just hearing things and we'll go with whoever well, says it correctly.
Okay, fine.
next question. In the medieval period, what was the term coined for someone who cared for the dead?
What's happening? This is distracting.
Is that Jerusalem that you're singing?
Yeah, I think she's singing. And in those fields of
it wasn't
high.
Meant to be. It was some like sort of music. Some sort of.
You are crying.
Right. Okay. It's the Undertaker. We got to speed this up, guys.
That was a simple
so
one.
Silly?
That was a simple
I'm
one.
I'm really sorry to spoil the fun. Okay. But what famous physicist famously said, the only thing that we can be sure of is that we're all going to die.
Mm,
you said that all the time.
Physicist.
Yes.
Marie Curie?
Einstein.
Yes!
Oh. Is Marie Curie a physicist?
She was. She did she did nuclear stuff.
There we go.
Cancer stuff.
Last question.
Go on.
What did the concept of the funeral come from? What? Where?
Where?
Where did the concept of the funeral come from?
Oh.
I love these questions.
I want to say...
You can't cheat.
I didn't. Like, can't read that far away. Do you want to have
foul.
A go?
Dun, 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 dun,
I'm
dun,
thinking dun, it's got to be something dun, like the Aztecs or something.
Dun, dun,
I think it's dun, from...
Are you giving us a clue?
No, this is just the theme music to...
Oh. It's theme music now.
Could it be from the medieval period?
Oh.
It could be.
It could be.
Wait.
No, it's not apparently. It's ancient Rome.
Oh, well, yeah, I didn't know
I'm not very good at
who won
at this. But anyway, I think I'd like to call this a draw.
I agree.
Just because I think that I think we should just go to the break. Thank you so much for being here. Dun, 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 dun.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Death of Funny Business with
Tash and Becky.
I was just trying to think of what I've been mourning this week, but I don't think I've been mourning anything this
week.
The
weather.
Have you?
The weather.
I don't want to talk about the weather.
It really, really feels like a set in. It feels like summer has truly exited.
Okay.
We are truly in the throes of autumn. And actually, I just want to put a PSA out there.
Mm.
This is the time we hibernate, my friends.
I was going to say that.
Do not push yourself to start doing anything right now. Don't be gentle, be kind.
Do you know how many cookies I had last night?
Oh, I want to say like 12.
Actually, today.
How many?
I think I've had eight. What? Eight Marylands.
That's not that bad.
And the brands are available.
I could genuinely like do a whole packet. I'm not even lying.
But I think something that's actually quite funny, not funny, but how do you feel about new seasons, new kind of griefiness? Because I always feel a little bit heavier in the winter.
Absolutely.
And I feel like my whole being is quite tired and more emotional. And I just want affection and cuddles.
Yep.
And
yep.
I'm feel very single at the moment.
Oh, babe. You and me both, honey bee.
And I just want that kind of physical touch. And it would be weird to have that physical touch from my father. Obviously, that's not what I'm suggesting. But it's that kind of...
I'll hug you.
Thank you.
In a friendly way.
Let's hug after this for 20
I would love
seconds.
It. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm all for the gay, but I feel like me and Becky aren't quite there together. I love you so much, but romantically, maybe not yet. Maybe soon. But as friends, we'll cuddle and cuddle. I will be your big spoon.
I want to be the small spoon, so that's fine. I'm missing my big spoon. And I just want
to. But you have to do me as well. You have to big spoon me too.
We can take it in turns.
Okay.
But do you know what I'm saying?
I do. And you know what? SAD, that's seasonal affective disorder, that everyone, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. We've been talking about it today. Yasmin, my producer, she's looking in the window and she's nodding her head because it is true.
She's SADing.
We are, and it's true. I mean, it's definitely a thing. You have to remember that light and your surroundings and your environment are very much part of how you're going to feel on the day. And if it is dark when you have to wake up and go to work, and you have to put on a little blanket to get outside, and you have to bring an umbrella that's going to break because it's windy. Ugh. And then your shoes get wet, your socks get wet. 100%. Life is harder when it's autumn. My mum's anniversary is actually coming up as well,
which is
the worst thing, worst timing is like, oh, right, beginning of October, like deep depth of October, like here is autumn. Feel your pain. Like,
take it.
But also, there's definitely something to be said for creating your cozy times.
Candles.
I would like to give you an example of this.
Oh, please do.
This is not a paid advertisement, but I would just like to shout out Udi's. And anyone who knows me knows that I fucking love this thing so fucking much. I have a bright pink Udi, and they're like those big wearable blankets, right? And it's got sleeves and a hood.
I want to see a picture of this, and I think we should post it everywhere.
Oh, I will send it to our socials team, and you can have it.
Can I get in it?
You could genuinely, we could do two people. I'm not even kidding. Like, we could do it together.
So we could spoon in this.
In the hoodie.
Is it called an Udi or a
hoodie? Oodie. They're an Australian brand, and I'm obsessed. Anyway, my point is, get in your Udi, put on a little, like, you know, YouTube fireplace on the television, okay? Get all cozy. Some hot chocolate, right? Or a little cup of tea. Get your little book or whatever you like to do. Do you like to play little games? A Nintendo moment? Because I love a Nintendo game, a little bit of Zelda. I'm also a big fantasy fan, so I love me a good, like, you know, girly fairy book. I'm all about that life.
What were those, like, fairy books called when we were younger?
Oh, like Ruby the Red Fairy.
Yes.
So good.
Ruby.
Yeah, that's the beginning of that for me. Oh, okay. But right now, I'm, you know, it's not there anymore. We're talking about, like, you know, hardcore fairy smut.
Well, I think that's...
Oh,
the fairy's getting it on.
Rebecca, we do not have time to get into A Court of Thorns and Roses with you right now. Anyone who knows, you freaking know. This is a whole extra podcast.
Fairies are for children, are they not?
No. Don't worry, guys. I'm going to educate her and her mind will be blown.
Okay.
I promise I won't let her walk away without understanding what this is. But truly...
Talking about grief, I feel like my child has just fucking ended right now.
Oh my God. I'm not talking about cute little baby fairies. I'm talking about adult 300-year-old vampire fairies. You know what I'm saying?
No, I can't
like
picture
Twilight.
All I'm picturing is like...
okay, well...
I just gave you some money for your tooth. that's what I'm picturing. And then
so
like,
this is the difference between me and Becky.
I just gave you this tooth and then I'm going to go and check my other fairy.
You can tell that my mum died when I was 7 and your dad only died a few years ago. That's literally all I'm going to say.
Is that how we end the show? I don't know.
My trauma is so deep.
Okay,
it's been
well,
so long that fairies have become
I wanted
fodder.
Yeah, I have a lot to process right now, and like this show's been really we've gone through.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gone there. I feel bad.
It's
now
okay. I just have nightmares.
I take
now
it back.
We can talk about this after You're the show
also, you also have problems.
I have issues. But that's why we're here, Natasha.
But hey, listen up. So I'm going to be the big spoon.
So should we sort of say a thank you to everyone that was on today?
Oh, who was your favourite? Well, no, let's not pick favourites.
Natasha, we're not doing favourites.
Sorry.
But we had Paul Cutler.
I love Paul. Bubblegum
Ink.
Paul
that was
the
really,
sweetest
really fun.
Little angel. What a kind man.
And I think I'm going to, next time someone dies, I'm going to rethink what I do with
Absolutely.
These ashes.
Absolutely. I think we could definitely think about it. Like I said, next time.
Next time. And thank you to Florence Lace Evans as well. That was fun.
What a G.
That was really fun.
What a sweet,
and I
sweet
feel
angel.
Like I want to dive straight into that world and that show. So we're going to go and we can talk about that actually once we've seen the show.
Okay, yeah, once we see the show, we will give you a review.
We'll give you a review.
Very harsh, very serious, whether our Death of Funny Business listeners can go or they should just not bother.
Exactly. Oh, that's harsh. On that note, thank you so much for listening to Death of Funny Business.
We did it again.
We did it again. Myself, Becky Briggs, and
Natasha Spencer-Levy, that's me.
Bye-bye.
Bye, babes.
Bye.
Bye.